A person guilty of manslaughter in ancient times could escape punishment by winning a foot race. I'll return in a moment with the amazing facts about fleeing fugitives and cities of refuge. Hello, this is Joe Cruz on the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. You know, it's been well said that the religion of many people is like a headache. They have no desire to lose their head, but it hurts them to keep it. Now, this leads to the question, is Christianity hard or easy? Or put another way, is Christianity possible only those who have a strong will, or can even moral weaklings hold out and hold on? A third way of asking the question is to inquire, does salvation depend mostly upon God's doing or mine? Now, in seeking for the answer to these questions today, I'd like to read a text which formed the basis for one of D.L. Moody's most famous sermons, Isaiah 32:2. And a man shall be at an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Now, friends, when you read that word man, and I hope you'll spell it with a capital M, let me read it again now. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest. Now there is a picture of Jesus Christ, how he would come to this world and shepherd and keep his people. A man shall be as in hiding from the tempest. An individual finds himself out in the storm and must flee somewhere for protection and hiding. If you're willing to flee to Jesus, you will find shelter from the tempest raging all about you. Now, first of all, I wish to emphasize that the matter of salvation, the matter of peace and the life, is not a matter of penance and probation. Jesus never asked his followers to go through penance, nor did he ever deal with them mistrustingly. You go through the sacred records and you'll find how God dealt with men in days gone by. That's the only way to be sure of how God deals with people today. The only way to find salvation is through faith and acceptance. There's never a case where God asked a man to go through penance and afflict his body, or where God held a man off. The moment you come, you are received. God does not say, I know you're sincere and a truth seeker, all right, and if you prove yourself in a month's time, you'll be accepted. No, no, finding salvation is instantaneous and not a matter of going through penance or probation. Listen to the invitation of the Bible in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, you bring your sins to Jesus, my friends. That's what it says it takes. And he wants to forgive your past. He longs to take those things. And all Jesus asks you is to bring your old life, your old ways, all the evil of your life. Bring it to the foot of the cross, and with no exception, Jesus will give salvation. But another one says, well, that isn't the point. In my case, I've confessed my sins to God and asked him to forgive them. But after I asked, I didn't feel a bit different. I still had that awful, overwhelming feeling of regret and burden for my past sins. All right, friends, please put this down. Let it be burned in your heart. Salvation is not a matter of feeling. It is a matter of faith. Let me repeat it. Salvation is not a matter of feeling, it's a matter of faith. If we confess our sins, he forgives and cleanses those sins. But you say, I can't forget them. God says, I will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Take hope in God's word. Those promises are written for you. The devil is the one who would tempt you and taunt you with past sins. Away with feelings. And let faith water the heart and lighten the life. But some insist they must have a feeling. They ought to feel different. If you're going to go by feelings, you'll have one kind of Christian experience at 6 in the morning, another kind at 10 in the morning, another kind at noon when you're hungry, and another kind at 2 and another at 5. Why, our feelings, friends, are up and down. Religion is not a matter of feeling, but a matter of faith. Jesus freely holds out these promises to you. Don't let Satan fool you. He had you in mind when he offered salvation so freely. Noah prepared an ark, you remember, not for himself, but for every soul living in the world at that time. But you say there was not enough room in the ark for everybody. If the world had accepted Noah's warning, there would have been a big enough revival to have prepared a big enough ark to have cared for every soul who would enter. Noah prepared that ark. He got it all ready. He built it up on the mountainside, you remember? And the throngs cheered and they mocked. The day finally came when God was about to close that door. Here comes a repentant soul out of that multitude who's made his decision that he's going in the ark of safety. Now he's outside and longs to step over the threshold of that door. The moment he takes that step, he is a saved man. A moment ago, he was a lost soul. He stepped into the ark and is saved. It would make no difference if he were just outside that door or 100 miles away. As long as he stayed outside the ark, he was a lost man. You may be very close to the church. You may have relatives who are members. But if you're not inside, if you have 1 foot inside and 1 outside, you're still a lost man. To step over the line is instant salvation. I think of that man, Lot, living in that wicked city of Sodom. He was climbing in politics. He was a success as far as this life was concerned. But the judgments of God were about to fall. God sent angels to tell Lot to flee for his life. He got his wife and daughters and tried to escape. The angels took them by the arm in order to move them a little faster. The Bible picture is very, very dramatic. Now picture it again today as they make their way across the plains. The words of the angel ringing in their ears, Sodom's going to be consumed. We're going to rain fire and brimstone on this wicked city. You see, Lot was a lost man as long as he was in that vale of Sodom. Genesis 19:23 tells us that when Lot entered into Zoar, the sun was just rising. Just as he put his foot inside the door, he glanced up and saw the city. Out there in the valley, Lot was a lost man. We know so because his wife lost out. But Lot didn't stop there. He kept right on with his 2 daughters, and as he stepped over the city limit sign into the town of Zoar, God began to rain down fire and brimstone and literally consumed that valley. Lot was in a lost condition, friends, until he took that step and went over the line to safety. It wasn't his feelings that saved him, for he felt pretty bad in Zoar. But he was saved instantly on completely obeying the commands of God. When God talked things over with him, he didn't have the Bible to read. Lot was simple enough to believe that when God said a certain thing, he should believe it and not try to change it. Lot thought that when God said this, and that is what you should do. He hated to do it. It seemed like one of the most impossible for Lot to leave all that he had and go to that little town of Zoar. He went and did what God told him to do, and the experience meant his salvation. Suppose, friends, that I'm on a sinking ship, which is going down in the terror of a storm at sea. I rush here and rush there for help. The captain says there's no safety. But I say, Captain, can't you do something to save me? Can't you cut off the compartments? He says, I've done everything I can, but the ship is going to sink. But what are we going to do? The captain says, I'm telling you for the 10th time, get into one of the lifeboats. But I still plead, but Captain, here I am. I just don't feel that the ship's going to go down. Listen, if you want to be saved, man, get into that lifeboat. And I stand there and linger there. I don't want to get down there and cut all ties from that big ship which feels so safe. But I finally take my stand and decide I'll pay any price. It dawns on me that the ship is actually going down out of sight, and about that time I make a last-minute spring into a lifeboat. The ropes are cut, and it surges down into the ocean, soon to be picked up by a rescue ship. I'm not saved through any goodness of my own, nor through feelings, but because I threw myself through faith upon the mercies of the lifeboat. It's the same way I'm saved through faith in Christ. A little child in Egypt is lying in his bed. The angel has said to the householders, I will pass over you when I see the blood on the doorpost. And those who had applied the blood to the doorpost would be safe when the death angel passed over. The child's life hung on the condition of blood being applied to that doorpost. If there was no blood on the doorpost, the child was without hope. One moment, the child, the firstborn, is lost without hope. Then the father takes that lamb, catches that blood which flowed for your sins, and applies it to the doorpost of his house. The moment that blood is applied, or rather was applied back there in Egypt, it meant instant salvation to that firstborn child. In the same way, we must allow the Holy Spirit to take the blood of Jesus Christ and apply it to our hearts and save us through faith in Him. When the children of Israel entered the Promised Land, God made some special arrangements to protect people who accidentally killed another person. We read about it in Numbers 35, verse 15. These six cities shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel and for the stranger and for the sojourner among them, that everyone that killeth any person unawares may flee thither. And then again from Deuteronomy 19:3, thou shalt prepare thee a way and divide the coast of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to inherit, into three parts, that every slayer may flee thither. Now listen, when God built up the commonwealth of Israel, He made the plan that all through the land there should be provided cities of refuge, which could be reached quickly from any part of the kingdom. These were not provided just for the Jews, they were just as much for the strangers as for the Israelites. It says so. The cities of refuge were for everyone. Now let's take one as an example today and show how the cities worked. Let's take the one down at Hebron. Let's imagine over on the side away from the city a man is working in the woods. All of a sudden, over on the side away from the city, or rather while he's chopping down this tree over on that hill, his axe flies off the handle and hits a man working next to him, mortally wounding the man. Well, he's terrified. Nearby is a relative working who's watching, and he becomes angry and springs at the man and says, I'll get even with you because you took my brother's life. The man flees for his life to the city of refuge. He starts running as fast as he can. He knows it's only 10 or 15 miles. The cities might be reached very easily. And all his life is given over now to making that city of refuge. That's all that counts. He's making a run for his life. He's in a lost condition until he can reach that city of refuge. The highways were always kept repaired and open to the city of refuge. That was God's instruction. Make the way clear so that he that runneth may read. The signs were plain enough so anybody could see them. So the poor man runs on. He watches the signs, and the road is clear as it always is to the foot of the cross. He becomes weaker and weaker and feels that he must stop. He looks back, and there in the valley he sees the avenger of blood pursuing him. He prays, Lord, give me strength again. The enemy is catching up with him, trying to overtake him before he reaches that ark of safety, that sea of refuge. His breath begins to come heavy, but a surge of power comes down on him as he can hear the breathing of the man who's bringing death to him. He must run, and get to salvation. And he makes one last desperate effort as he almost feels the grasp of his pursuer. And in his desperation, with those watching, cheering him on as he approaches the city, he finally falls across the threshold of that city and is safe inside of Hebron, away from the death. Out there, he was a lost man. Inside, he's safe. Well, the ultimate city of refuge is only a step away for all of us who are listening to this broadcast today. If you're lost now, you can be saved by the time this program is ended. In faith, you can turn to the Savior, confess your sins, but His promise, and be forgiven. If you'd like this beautiful step explained further, please write for folder L entitled, It's Still There. It's one of the series of our highly informative Bible lessons. It's folder L. And please give the call letters of this station also when you write. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.